This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
We're busy as a church working through the Word of God. And we're busy reading together the way Scripture was actually intended to be read in community. And we're busy working through Joshua. We're busy working through this book. All right, so hopefully most of you have seen this book. Hopefully it's not gathering too much dust on your shelf. And hopefully we're going to be finishing this week with Joshua. And I'm thinking that Ross will probably kick off with Judges next week. Thank you for that. And so in praying and preparing for this week, I felt, as I was reading through Joshua again, just the whole story of Joshua, just the story of Caleb. And so I entitled the sermon, A Different Spirit. And I kicked off with the following question in my first sermon. I'm going to start there again. What is our promised land? What is our promised land? And then last time I said, this is not what is your promised land. This is what is our promised land. But tonight, there's a second question. What is your promised land? What is the part that God's called you to play in the promised land? And we're going to look at the story of Caleb to get there and to understand this. All right, so I need to put a little disclaimer before we start. Remember, whatever I say tonight, the Bible says you have to love me. All right? So can I ask that you all love me when you walk out? All right, amen. Okay, so this is really exciting word for me, and I'm really excited to come and bring this word, and I'm really hoping that I can shake the boat a bit, if that's okay. And I like to shake the boat because otherwise the boat gets boring. And second of all, because I really believe that God has a plan for your life. I really believe that you are the apple of His eye. And I'd love to see all of us walk in the fullness of God and what He's called us to walk in. I'd love to see us walking in the authority and the power of the Holy Spirit. And with that, let's read. Don't you want to open up that for me, please? After exploring the land for 40 days, the men returned to Moses, Aaron, and the whole community of Israel. They reported to the whole community what they had seen and showed them the fruit they'd taken from the land. So that you might know where we are right now. This is while Moses was still alive and they had sent the spies into the land. Do you remember the story? Are you with me? For some of you that's got those old picture Bibles, it's where they had those sticks that were those poles over their shoulders that was like still a little bit bent with this massive grapes on. Have you seen that? Have anyone got those picture Bibles still? All right. Yes. Amen. Whew, this morning, everyone looked at me. I was strange when I said that. And they're kind of my age. So I was like, were you deprived as a child? What happened? Are you denying that this happened? All right. So let's see what's happened. This was the report to Moses. We entered the land you sent us to explore, and it is indeed a bountiful country, a land flowing with milk and honey. This was circa Durbanville. Here is the kind of fruit it produces, and they showed them some amazing vineyards here in Durbanville. But the people living there are powerful, and their towns are large and fortified. We even saw giants there. Now remember this, the descendants of Anuk. And then they go through all the ites. There's the Amalekites, the Hittites, the Jebusites, and all these ites, the Canaanites, and where they find themselves. Right. And then Caleb comes to the picture. And Caleb says, but Caleb tried to quiet the people as they stood before Moses. Let's go at once to take the land. We can certainly conquer it. But the other men who had explored the land with him disagreed. We cannot go up against them. They are stronger than we are. So they spread this bad news amongst the land and amongst the Israelites. The land we traveled through and explored will devour anyone who goes to live there. All the people we saw were huge. It's definitely South Africa, because people in South Africa are huge. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. Next to them, we felt like grasshoppers, and that's what they thought of us. Isn't that amazing? Then the whole community began weeping aloud, and they cried all night. Their voices rose in a great choir of protest against Moses and Aaron. If only we had died in Egypt, or even here in the wilderness. Why is the Lord taking us to this country only to have us die in battle? Now listen. Our wives and our little ones will be carried off as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to return to Egypt? And listen what they do next. Let's choose a new leader and go back to Egypt. Let's just hold there, June. What had just happened before this? Moses brought the great plagues, right? You guys remember the story? Like never be seen before. Okay? Next, Moses takes them across the ocean. Next level, right? And yet, what we find is that they'd rather go back to Egypt. They'd rather make themselves a new leader. It was obvious that God was with Moses. It was obvious that God spoke to Moses. There was no denying this. And yet, so listen to the sin. Because of the concern of the Israelites, they started looking for excuses. Listen to the excuse. Our wives and our children are too important. What if they get taken? We're getting real tonight. Is anyone following where I'm going to go? Have you been in a conversation recently? Nee, broer. Ons moet uit hierdie land uit. Ek moet my vrou en my kinders ons gaan. But thank you, Uncle Patrick. Where are you going, brother? It's Canada or it's Australia? As far east or as far west as you can get from South Africa. And we laugh. We laugh. This is funny. But it's sad. What is our promised land? No. Let's not go there. Do you see the fear that steps into Israel in the scripture? And so what they do, they start making a plan. They start kicking in a plan. It's better for us to move on. It's better to get a new leader. Then Moses and Aaron fell face down on the ground because before the whole community of Israel. Two of the men who had explored the land, Joshua and Caleb, tore their clothing. They said to all the people of Israel, remember, scholars said there was about 2.4 million people that they spoke to that left Egypt. So about 2.4 million people. The land we traveled through and explored is a wonderful land. Listen to the spirit of Caleb. Listen to the spirit of Joshua. And if the Lord is pleased with us, He will bring us safely into that land and give it to us. It is rich, flowing with milk and honey. Do not rebel against the Lord. And don't be afraid of the people of the land. They are only helpless prey to us. They have no protection. But the Lord is with us. Don't be afraid of them. So often we relate to that space, right? I had a jean shortened this week. I'm not one of the big South Africans. I'm a very small South African, and I have to have jeans shortened. And I went to go pick up my jean this week, and I had to wait for the load shedding to end because I don't carry cash. I don't know if you have the same problem. I never carry cash. I always got my card on me, so I had to wait for electricity so I could go pay with my card. And I enter the shop, and I tell the lady, okay, I'm here now. Electricity should be back on, so I want to do the exchange. And she starts off saying this like, yeah, this country. And she just goes off. Have you been there? And it's really hard because you stand there a little bit perplexed. Because all I want to do is get my jean. I just came for my jean. And if I engage in this conversation, it's going to have to be a conversation. And I'm like, Lord, I just wanted my jean. But how do we respond in these type of situations? What is our response to be? Listen to this. Listen to the sin of Israel. They're in rebellion. They're in fear. They've lost hope. But Caleb is saying, guys, they are helpless prey to us. Isn't that beautiful? He's saying, we've got the authority. We've got God on our side. We can do this. But the whole community began to talk about stoning Joshua and Caleb. And then God pitches. You kind of have to ask yourself, what would have happened if God didn't pitch at that moment? Those days, stoning was a common practice, basically like today with the youth. Getting stoned is a common practice. Two different kinds of stones. They would have had their rocks in their hand. They would have literally been ready to stone. And then God arrives. Then the glorious presence of the Lord appeared to all the Israelites at the tabernacle. And the Lord said to Moses, how long will these people treat me with contempt? Will they never believe me, even after all the miraculous signs I've done amongst them? I will disown them and destroy them with a plague. then I will make you, Moses, a nation greater and mightier than they all. Than they are. And this is where Moses goes, and we're not going to go through the scriptures further yet. This is where Moses goes and says, Lord, please, these are your people. You don't. And he steps in the gap on behalf, he becomes a priest on behalf of the people, and he tells God, please don't do that. Don't destroy us. If you notice that God always seems to arrive at point 99, you're like desperate, more desperate, manic, and then God, right? God likes to test our faith, right? God, where are you? God, where are you? No, seriously, God, where are you? Lord, if you don't come through now, okay, now, okay, as in right now, and bing, isn't God amazing? So faithful. Do you know what it means, the word contempt? It's a feeling that a person or a thing is worthless or beneath consideration. We as South Africans are seeing miracles every day. We see God's faithfulness every day. God's been so faithful since the new government has taken over, since apartheid. God has been so faithful. We've not seen murders. We've not seen mass murders. We haven't seen people going crazy. I know you think you have. We haven't. We've not experienced a Rwanda. We've not experienced what many other countries have experienced. You go, yeah, there's a lot of corruption for sure. Show me a country that doesn't. The point is, God is faithful. We have Mighty Men conferences. We have a million people coming together to pray. As Christians, we prayed in Parliament. As pastors and ministering people, as ministers of God, we were invited. I was one of the pastors there. We prayed in the government building. We took authority. We did repentance. We've seen amazing things in this nation. And yet, amongst all these miracles, we still struggle. Most of us sitting here can admit that God is really good. We've got good jobs, we've got good careers, got good lives. And yet still, it's not enough. Jesus had the same problem. He did all these amazing miracles and people still denied him. You know, when they were screaming out, crucify him, crucify him. Kind of wonder what were the people doing that he, the blind, that he healed, and the lame and the deaf. Where were they? I'll tell you where they were. They were right there. And they were either just silent or they were screaming, crucify him. Crucify him. God showed me once that the people that were screaming, I was in that crowd. I was the guy with a hammer that drove the nail through his hands. You see, we kind of look at, yeah, they crucified Christ. No, we crucified Christ. I crucified Christ. And he looked on the cross, and he looked at me in my eyes, and he said, Father, forgive Bernie, for he doesn't know what he's doing. Forgive Jan. Forgive Patrick. They don't know what they're doing. So that today I might know Christ. Awfully quiet in the house of God tonight. Right, let's get to good news. Numbers 14, 24, and verse 30. Now, this is a conversation God's having. Now, look at God and his faithfulness. But my servant, Caleb, has a different attitude than the others have. He has remained loyal to me, so I will bring him to the land he explored. You will enter and occupy the land I swore to give you. The only exception will be Caleb and Joshua. Once again in Numbers 32, the only exceptions are Caleb and Joshua, for they have wholeheartedly followed the Lord. And Deuteronomy says, except Caleb, he will see the land because he has followed the Lord completely. I will give to him and his descendants some of the very land he explored during his scouting mission. All right. Is everyone still okay? No one feel too rocked? No one offended yet? Okay. See if we can rock the boat a little bit more. Here's my question. First question. Right? What is the promised land? Second question. How does Israel look if the story was played out today? How would Israel look if it played out amongst us today? This morning, Greg Boy led worship, and he was sharing that they really had a difficult week. Their family dog died, and for his two daughters, it's really hard. Very young daughters still. And conversation started going to what is heaven, and speaking about heaven, and then the eldest daughter, Hannah, said something profound. She looked at her dad and she said, Daddy, how long, how many more sleeps before I see Father God? How many more sleeps before I can see Father God? See, life gets real after a while. I've got to provide for my family. I've got to get a good job. I have to fit in with the Joneses. I have to be able to buy meat so I can braai with the rest of the Durbanville crowd. I have to drive the same car. I'm fortuna enough to be able to drive a car. And slowly but surely, we start becoming complacent. Slowly but surely, that zeal that we once had, that excitement for the Word of God, those times that we're on our knees seeking God, seems to fade away. And we walk away from that place of intimacy with the King of Kings. See, God's called us to have a different spirit. And this is the good news, and we're going to get there. So from here, it's good news in. Joshua 14. Right. So that's my introduction. We're now getting to the book of Joshua. And let's see what Joshua says. A delegation from the tribe of Judah, led by Caleb, came to Joshua at Gilgal. Who remembers what happened in Gilgal? Anyone? Snip, snip. It's where the men sat for a long time. Caleb said to Joshua, remember what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, about you and me when we were at Kadesh. I was 40 years old When Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh to explore the land of Canaan, I returned and gave an honest report. But my brothers, isn't that beautiful? After all this time, this is years afterwards. This is 45 years afterwards. The people that he went with were all dead, and he still calls them his brothers. Isn't that beautiful? Not the rest, not the guys that couldn't get it, not the deceived, not the whatever. My brothers, see the honor. But my brothers who went with me frightened the people from entering the promised land. For my part, I wholeheartedly followed the Lord my God. So that day, Moses solemnly promised me, the land of Canaan on which you were just walking will be your grant of land. And that for your descendants forever, because you wholeheartedly followed the Lord God. Now, as you can see, the Lord has kept me alive and well, as he promised for over these 45 years since Moses made this promise, even while Israel wandered in the wilderness. Today, I am 85 years old. Listen to this, ladies and gentlemen. Do any of you know an 85-year-old that speaks like this? I'm as strong now as when I was with Moses. Sorry, it's too small there. I'm as strong now as I was when Moses sent me on that journey, and I can still travel and fight as well as I could then. So give me the hill country that the Lord promised me. You'll remember that as scouts, we found the descendants of, yeah, there's guys, living there in great walled towns. What's the problem with these guys? Come on. Thank you. Giants. All right, let's make it in today's vernacular. This 85-year-old man is about to go and play rugby against the All Blacks. He's 85 years old, and he's about to take on the All Blacks. And he's got no fear. What's incredible about this story, at this point, Israel's conquered most of the land. Like, we've got the promised land. We own it. It's like for us saying, man, listen, God has pitched in South Africa, and we've got most of South Africa. Most of South Africa is saved. Most of South Africa serves God, except for Gauteng. And let's be honest. Who wants Gauteng? But here comes this 85-year-old man that says, no, there's still giants, and I'm going to take them on. He plays the game so well, ladies and gentlemen, that no All Black will ever play rugby again. Hey, Mark, I felt skoon. He tackles them right off the field. 85 years old. Isn't that incredible? So listen to Joshua. So Joshua blesses Caleb. Like, hey man, you crazy, bro. Go. It's yours. And gave Hebron to him. It's not like he gave it to him. It's just like, yeah, Hebron, it's yours. You can have it. Take on those giants. Hebron still belongs to the descendants of Caleb, because he wholeheartedly followed the Lord. Listen to this. It's incredible. And the land had rest from war. The land had rest from war. No one dared to take on the Israelites, because there's this 85-year-old man that slays giants. There's an 85-year-old man. Now, I'm now turning 40 this year, and it's hard to have a midlife crisis because I already have a bike. So I don't know where to go from here. But I'm watching older people in their 70s and their 80s. Both my father and my father-in-law are both retired. And I'm watching their friends and I'm watching my uncles. And I'm watching people get old. Pastor Fred May, founder of the Shofar movement, once spoke about old horses, old race horses. And the challenge with old race horses is that they're still able to race. They just can't race with the young horses anymore. They still have got so much to give, so much to share. Spend 5 minutes with Uncle Patrick and you'll realize so much to learn. So much wisdom. So much life experience. And I'm watching these old people and I'm seeing people going one of two ways. I see them just getting old. Just giving up. Just saying, I've had enough. And then I'm watching those that are like my dad. Now my dad is 76 years old. He's retired by, I think, about 5 times. Someone needs to explain to him how retirement works. He works harder than any 40-year-old I know. And I'm not joking. And he's the most passionate person I know about what he does. So I see him quite regularly. He lives out in Stellenbosch and he's in the fruit industry. And when he sees me, he gets a smile. Because all he wants to do is share. And then he just goes, blah, 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 apples, blah, 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 vruchte, blah, 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 blah. And he just motor mouths. And then we get fruit, which is awesome. I'm just waiting for the, okay, hand over the good stuff. And he's flying all over the country all the time. 76 years old. And the man has got a mission. He's got a job. He's loving it. He loves every minute. Passionate about what he does. He's got a spirit of Caleb. When I'm around him, I feel lazy. When I'm around him, I feel I don't do enough. When I'm around him, I don't feel passionate about what I do. Because his passion is just so incredible. As an example, he did a report on dragon fruit. Does anyone know what dragon fruit is? Have you ever seen it? Those red things, some of the, there's other colors. Then he comes and tells me that there's so many varieties. He did this whole report because they want to look at to do dragon fruit in South Africa. So he spent a month finding out everything about a fruit he's got no idea about. And he, I can tell you, is the most knowledgeable person in South Africa about dragon fruit. His finding is it probably won't work. In South Africa, maybe in Durban, but it probably won't work. Spirit of Caleb. See, we have something different. We have something different. And I go back to where I started when we took up the offering. I had a guy in our church in Shofar Cape Town, and last year he came and gave a sermon. He's quite the stats guy. He loves stats, South African stats. He works with a persecuted church in Africa. And he at that stage was working for the Barnabas Trust or the Barnabas Fund and doing incredible work amongst persecuted churches in Africa. And came and gave a sermon, and he gave us the stats. So a while back, there was a company that saw an opportunity, marketing company, and they said, let us find out the spending patterns of Christians in America, because we believed it's an untapped market. If we can find out what Christians want, we can get into a new market. And they did the stats. They did the numbers. They crunched the numbers. Do you want to hear the sad and scary thing? They found no difference in the spending habits between the church and the unchurched. None. Nada. Zero. Zip. Yo, Bernie, we tithe. Do you know that most people actually have a giving spirit and actually give SPCA or what's these guys on the water, or disaster management or something? People actually have a real heart to give. So even in that, there was no difference. And they found that many Christians don't, in any case, tithe. No difference. They looked at Christians. Do you know what they found, the only difference they could find between the saved and the unsaved? Two things. One, Christians serve more because they serve in church. Most of us serve in church. Second of all, Christians are less likely to listen to pirated music. And pirated movies. That's it. The only difference between us is we've got a bit of a conscience to steal music. That's the only difference between us and the world. Scripture says that we judge something by our fruit, our works, our fruit. The only fruit we have is that we don't listen to stolen music. That's it. Israel today. But there's good news as we go into the next slide. See, God has given us His Holy Spirit. God has given us His Holy Spirit. Now let me explain to you a little bit about the Holy Spirit. The more space you make for the Holy Spirit, the more He will operate in your life. The less space, the less you'll be able to operate. In other words, June, can we go to that last slide, please? In other words, is that it? Okay. Can we go to my, that's the one. In other words, we need to die to ourselves. It boils down to us letting go of our pride. Listen carefully to this. As we were worshiping this morning, the Lord gave me this, and so I read this to you. I'm a broken man in a broken world amongst broken people serving a perfect God wholeheartedly. Can I say that again? I'm a broken man living in a broken world amongst broken people serving a perfect God with all of my heart, wholeheartedly. It's not about works. It's not about striving. It's not about any of those things. It's about recognizing my brokenness. It's about recognizing that I really, really, really need God. It's about recognizing that I really, really want God. I want relationship with something that is whole, something that is perfect, something I can cast my eyes on, something that can give me hope, because anything that's broken will not give me hope. And so Christ was kind and good, and He said, I have to leave you. Glenn, I have to leave you, brother, because I'm going to give you something better. I'm going to give you my Spirit. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. I don't have it up on the board. Matthew 7 says, keep on asking and you'll receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. You parents, if your children ask you for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give you good gifts to those that ask him? The thing that stops us, ladies and gentlemen, the thing that stops me is my pride. It's my pride that stops me. So how do we counter this? How do we get this right? How do we come like little Hannah where we ask, Daddy, how many more sleeps do I see, Father God? See, in that statement, there's no pride. There's a faith of a child. So here's the remedy, ladies and gentlemen. Start asking. Start seeking. Start knocking. I shared this morning and I shared again tonight. Most of us, right, we know when someone's coming to visit us. Okay, today's technology, we've got cell phones, and we've got Siri, and we've got Google, and we can see them driving up on the road, and so we see they're 5 minutes away and 4 minutes away, and then Siri says, Neil is at the door. Press a little beeper and the automatic gates open and Neil cruises in and automatic gates close. We know Neil's coming. So when we get a knock on the door, right, then you know it's an unwanted guest. Have you ever had that? And this is what we normally do. Ding dong or knock, 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 and then you like get in this crouch position. Okay. And then you start leopard crawling to the door. To the window, and you peep out to see who this person is, right? Some of us, we're kind of sophisticated, so we've got a little camera, we look at the camera, but it's mostly normally at the door, so we go very, very quietly and look at who's there, and then we decide if we're going to answer or not. And normally the person that comes to your door, right, is quite persistent. Have you noticed that too? And you kind of imagine, well, it's been a whole 30 seconds, I'm sure they get the picture, and knock, 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 knock. And if you've got kids, you're kind of getting them into the back rooms and everyone is dead quiet and trying to close a window that might look like you might be there, you know, just so that they won't realize you're there. And you wait and wait and wait and perspire until they leave. And then you put back your music on and then you own the joint again. You know, this is my place. It's my home. Don't tell me who... Can I ask you to become like those guys that knock at the doors? Just be persistent. Keep knocking. Keep knocking. Haven't got breakthrough with a new job? Keep knocking. Haven't got breakthrough in healing? Keep knocking. Haven't had breakthrough to find a person, my life partner? Keep seeking. Keep asking, hey, will you go on a date? Keep asking. It's the remedy that Christ gives us. See, when we get saved, we stop knocking. We're too dignified. We stop asking. I know everything. I've read the Bible. Most of it. I think. Joshua's Old Testament. See? I know the Bible. So tonight I'd like to invite us to unlock that spirit of Caleb inside of each and every one of us. I pray that I have a midlife crisis at 85 where I start playing rugby again.
against the All Blacks.
I pray at 85 I'll be jumping out of planes into crazy countries where people are persecuted so I can go tell them about Jesus. I pray that at 85 I'll be raising the dead. I pray at 85 I'll be healing the sick, casting out demons. I'm not joking. It's not something that I speak lightly of. It's really my desire. Because I know at 85, I'm going to have a lot more wisdom. I'm going to have a lot more patience. I'm going to have made a lot more mistakes by that time. And I would have hopefully have learnt. And hopefully more than anything else, I will be more humble than I am now. I'll look more like Jesus at 85 than when I'm 40. That's who Caleb is. That's who Joshua was. That wholeheartedly served the Lord. He was a broken man amongst a broken world, around broken Israelites, serving a perfect God wholeheartedly. Can we stand tonight?
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.